The ESPN Football Today podcast is brought to you by New Dove Men Plus Care, a range of body and face washes for comfortable skin, for skin as comfortable as you are.
This is ESPN Plus. From Scout City, here's Jeremy Green.
Hello, and welcome to the Monday edition of ESPN Football Today. Presented by Dove, I'm your host, Jeremy Green. Pod Vader on the other side of the glass. Got a good show in store for you today. We've got some quick slants to Brickashaw Ferguson. He's going to be our guest this morning, and we are going to break down these two quarterbacks, Peyton Manning on one side, Drew Brees on the other. But let's first get to the quick slants.
Quick slants.
Wow. That's like our original days of First and 15 with the intro.
Well, I'm trying to save the voice. I mean, it sounds a little bit better, so let's not, you know.
Let's not push it?
Let's not push it.
We will start with Super Bowl news first. Colts defensive end Dwight Freeney has a torn ligament, according to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. The Pro Bowl defensive end has a torn ligament in his right ankle that will make it difficult for him to play against the Saints, if he can play at all, according to a source familiar with the injury.
Sounds like he wants to play, though. I mean,
well,
sounds like
it's the Super Bowl. You strap it up.
Well, you know, but it's a torn ligament. I mean, it's a torn ligament.
Dude, we had a guy play with a broken leg.
All right, so you want him to play?
Well, it's the Super Bowl.
You play. All right, so we'll see.
I mean, we'll see how effective he is.
We'll see how effective he is. We'll see how if he can play with it. I think he'll play as well. I think what you would find with a guy like Dwight Freeney, though, you'd be limited to maybe 10 to 15 pass rushes, and can he be effective in those pass rushing situations? That is the only way that I think they would use Dwight Freeney in an extensive time in this football game.
Quick slants.
New Orleans will hold a parade for the Saints, win or lose.
Really?
It's on Tuesday.
Is it a bigger parade if they win or if they lose?
I'm going to guess. well, that's the thing, too. And Mardi Gras is next week. So their parade for the Saints apparently will kick off their week-long parades for Mardi Gras. I don't even know how Mardi Gras works.
I'm not sure either, but that kind of makes sense to have a parade if you lose, if you're going to kind of put it in the form that it kicks off Mardi Gras. Win or lose, the Saints are going to kick off the parade for Mardi Gras. So I think that ends up being a good thing. Probably a bigger parade if they win, a mini parade if they lose.
What I think is funny about this is we had the story that they were talking about canceling school on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's win or lose as well. And then this parade is on Tuesday. So I guess the kids are going to skip school 2 days this week.
Nice.
Never mind one. It's like a snow day. They don't get those anymore.
No, they don't.
Quick slants.
Now to the Pro Bowl, and we'll start with Vikings tackle Bryant McKinney kicked off the team for missing Friday and Saturday practice.
That ever happened?
I've never heard of a player getting kicked off the Pro Bowl team. It's kind of interesting.
In other words, he went back to his hometown of Miami and disappeared for 2 days. I mean, that's Bryant McKinney's a Miami guy. Went back to Miami, disappeared. That's pretty embarrassing to get kicked off the Pro Bowl team, though.
It's not good.
No,
that's for sure.
It's embarrassing.
The AFC ended up winning the game 41-34. Matt Schaub threw 2 touchdowns in the first 5 minutes to win the MVP award. I saw some of the pass rushing in this game. It was a joke.
Yep.
Schaub finished 13-17 for 189 yards. NFC loses for just the second time in the last 5 Pro Bowls, by the way, which I thought was a little surprise. Aaron Rodgers starred for the NFC, throwing for 197 yards. 2 touchdowns, 34 players chosen for the Pro Bowl missed the game due to either injury or
wow.
Because they were scheduled to be in the Super Bowl. 14 players scheduled in the Super Bowl, by the way. Attendance for the game was 70,697, the second largest crowd in Pro Bowl history. They had 72,250 in 1959. Both quarterbacks, Schaub and Rodgers, put up the 2 highest single-game passer ratings, minimum 15 attempts in Pro Bowl history.
Did you watch it?
I've watched a little bit of the second quarter. That was it.
Why only the second quarter?
Because I was doing something else before then.
All right.
And
you didn't want to watch the rest of the last 3 quarters?
No. And then I watched a couple episodes of True Blood on HBO on demand. And then my wife kept calling me in about the Grammys, so I had to switch over to the Grammys a couple times. Saw the Michael Jackson tribute.
I'm not sure what I could say about the game. Didn't watch it. I think I'd have been a hypocrite if I watched it. I'm not supporting it. If I'd have watched, that'd only make me a hypocrite on the show. So I really can't add much.
There you go, folks. We legitimately gave the Pro Bowl no time. By the way, Roger Goodell still planning on keeping it the week before the Super Bowl, even though they're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
There's no way the players in the Super Bowl could go to
nope,
Hawaii.
That's true, though. I like that part of it. That part I actually like. But the players that are in the Super Bowl won't have to go.
I don't know, man. 34 players. That's, I mean, we talked about the Pro Bowl being a joke before. You can't change 34 players.
You can't, and call it your All-Star game. No, you can't.
Quick slants.
DeMarcus Ware is to have surgery now that the Pro Bowl has happened for a bone spur in his left foot.
Doesn't sound like a big deal. Get in there, get it cleaned out, scope it out, scrape it out, and DeMarcus Ware should be ready to roll for the offseason.
Quick slants.
On Friday, as suspected, Kurt Warner called an end to one of the greatest storybook careers in NFL history. The 38-year-old quarterback announced his retirement from the game on Friday after a dozen years in the league. That at first rejected him, then revered him as he came from nowhere to lead the lowly St. Louis Rams to two Super Bowls, winning the first of them. Odd that they're lowly again. Written off as it has been, he rose again to lead the long-suffering Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl a year ago. Warner walked away with a year left on a two-year, $23 million contract, knowing he still had the skills to play at the highest level. He had one of the greatest postseason performances ever in Arizona's 51-45 overtime wild card victory over Green Bay on January 10th.
Well, football today at ESPNradio.com. Do you think that Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer? We should be getting some emails in on that subject. I personally think he is a Hall of Famer, but there are people that believe when you look at Kurt Warner and you look at his body of work that he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, he stepped into the league and started late in his career, obviously coming from the Arena League, a guy that came up the hard way. Just an outstanding quarterback in that St. Louis system in Arizona. You kind of forget about that year that he was with the Giants. Kind of put that one in the background. He took a beating there, but it was a great career. Played with a lot of great receivers. Made a lot of players better. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know what the answer is for you right now. Is it Matt Leinart? I mean, is he the answer? He was drafted to be the future, and for the Arizona Cardinals, the future is now.
Jamar Grundy, our Dallas superfan, is about the only one I noticed with a Hall of Fame. And he does believe Warner's a Hall of Famer, compares him statistically to Jim Kelly and Troy Aikman, both Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Quick slants.
Speaking of those lowly Rams, or those once lowly Rams that were great, Mike Martz interviewing now for the Bears offensive coordinator.
Still haven't given this job away yet.
They don't have either coordinator position. Both are still open.
Can't give this job away right now.
Apparently not.
It's hard. You know why I think they're having trouble giving it away is because to get somebody that's like for long term, that you say has long term value. Lovie Smith doesn't have long term value right now, and I think that's what. Unless the Bears bounce back, I mean, if they have a losing season, he's going to be fired. It means as a new coordinator, offense or defensive guy, you're probably going to be fired, and so it's just hard to give that job away. But a guy like a Mike Martz, who's a veteran guy that would be willing, hey, if I only come in it last one year, yeah, you're going to get a guy like Mike Martz like that.
What about Denny Green?
No, he's not coming to be a coordinator anywhere.
Quick slants.
Jason Taylor hopes to play in 2010, preferably with the Dolphins. Is Jason Taylor becoming Brett Favre light?
No. I don't think so, because he's saying he wants to play. Why do you call Brett Favre light?
Well, Jason Taylor has announced his retirement, went and played with the Redskins, came back with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's saying he wants
to
play.
He's dangerously close. I think he's tiptoeing in the waters of Brett Favre.
I don't know if Brett Favre wants to play right now. I know Jason Taylor does. He just said so. There's a difference.
All right. There we go.
Quick slants.
Eagles name Howie Roseman their new GM.
Not really familiar with Howie Roseman that well, but I know he's been in that organization. He'll work well with Andy Reid, who will make all the ultimate final decisions.
Quick slants.
Cruising through. Panthers won't be bringing back defensive end Julius Peppers, according to Adam Schefter.
They're called quick slants.
Since when?
Oh, man. You got a uniform waiting for him, Pod Vader?
You know, I really don't.
Oh, you don't?
He's never played stand-up linebacker. So I don't understand. I know there's a lot of Patriot fans out there that think Julius Peppers is the answer. I don't see it.
You're not one of those. Okay, well, I think he's going to be better fit in a 4-3 defense, just as a 4-3 right defensive end. That's what he knows best. I agree. I mean, to put him on a 3-4 team, pay him all kinds of money to kind of figure out if he can be a 3-4 outside linebacker would be tough. I mean, there's guys that have made the transition there in Canton and did it in Green Bay, but they already had him on the roster. They didn't go out and pay money to get him to find out. So I think if you're looking at 3-4 teams for Julius Peppers, you're paying a lot of money for potentially a guy that can't do it. And so that's why I don't see him in a Patriot uniform as well. I think his best fit's in a 4-3 team as a right defensive end.
And you bring up Campman. Even Matt Williamson still doesn't believe that Campman fits
still
that system.
Still doesn't fit, yeah.
Quick slants.
The All-2000 team was named.
Okay.
There really are no surprises here. Although, there was one name, of course, me being a Patriot homer, that I thought was interesting that got left off, but I don't know if I could remove anyone. Here we go, though. Quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
No.
Running back, Sean Alexander, Jamal Lewis, Edgerrin James, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right.
Still no surprises. Fullback, Lorenzo Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
Wide receivers, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens.
Mm.
Popcorn ready there.
Get your popcorn ready because it's going to be a show.
Don't like having him on the All-Decade team, but he, you know.
You can't leave him off.
No, you can't.
Offensive tackles, Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden, Orlando Pace, William Roaf.
Mm.
Guards, Larry Allen, Alan Faneca, Steve Hutchinson, Will Shields. Centers, Olin Krutz, Kevin Mawai. Head coaches, Belichick and Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side, Dwight Freeney, Julius Peppers, Michael Strahan, Jason Taylor. The Patriot name I thought may have been missing is Willie McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
But again, do you put him as
a linebacker or?
Well, that's the thing. Do you put him as a D end or a linebacker? I consider McGinnis a D end,
okay,
personally. Defensive tackles, Leroy Glover, Warren Sapp, Richard Seymour, Kevin Williams. Which again, Richard Seymour is really an end, not a tackle.
Right.
Although he's always listed as a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerbacks, Rondae Barber, Champ Bailey, Ty Law, Charles Woodson. Safeties, Brian Dawkins, Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, Darren Sharper. Linebackers, Derek Brooks, Ray Lewis, Joey Porter, Zach Thomas, Brian Urlacher, DeMarcus Ware. Mm. And special teamers, punters, Shane Leckler, Brian Mormon. Kickers, David Akers, Adam Vinatieri. Punt returners, Dante Hall and Devin Hester. Kick returners, Josh Cribbs, Dante Hall.
Hmm. Hard to argue.
You can't. I mean, that's the thing. If you say someone was left off, you got to take someone off.
And, yeah, really, and that's what I'll say about
anyone that I could take off.
And so I'm going to say this about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want one thing I'll say about that is this.
If football day at ESPNradio.com, if you want to put a guy on, give me a guy to take off. Don't send me in guys and say, hey, this guy should be on. Because we could come up with about 50 names of guys that should be on. We just can't find 50 we want to take off. That's the problem.
Right.
So if you put one on, you got to take one off. Got to take one off. Football today at ESPNradio.com.
The Saints. The Colts.
The quarterbacks.
We'll tail the tape today and breaking down these two quarterbacks, and I'll try to keep it brief and keep the voice of Pod Vader said, wow, those were quick slants today. But, you know, we kind of broke these two quarterbacks down, and you look at both of these quarterbacks in terms of, and let's just start with Peyton Manning. I think, you know, you tail the tape, the edge goes to him in this game. You know, he's the best student of the game. He understands the game the best. Guy watches a ton of tape. Unbelievable student of the game. No matter what you throw at him defensively, and I think you have to throw something new at him defensively if you're the New Orleans Saints, something that he hasn't seen at least early to try to get him off his game, to try to rattle him a little bit, but he plays with great poise. He's a great leader on and off the field. He's a vocal leader on the field, which I think is important from the quarterback position. In terms of accuracy, I think unbelievable. And neither one of these quarterbacks throw the ball great vertically. I mean, I wouldn't call either one of them great deep ball passers. Peyton Manning gets rid of the ball quickly. That's why he's on target. Drew Brees, in terms of vertical, yeah, they throw the ball down the field, but he doesn't have a rocket or a cannon. Our offense isn't like stretch the field vertically. Brees, I also think, is a great student of the game. I mean, I would knock him in terms of his study habits. I mean, he's as good as anybody in the National Football League, not named Peyton Manning, in terms of preparation, in terms of getting ready for a game. I love the accuracy. I love the ability to throw to spots. I love the ability to work versus zone coverage. I think it's going to be interesting this week, him throwing into the cover two, because he does throw a real, real nice ball down the seam. I think the seam, an open area in the cover two defense. He throws a nice out route, throws the ball nicely to the deep out in terms of trying to put the ball between the safety and the cornerback. I mean, those are throws that he's going to have to make within the system. The throws Peyton's going to have to make are going to be, you know, Peyton's going to have to throw, quick slants versus blitz pressure, quick outs versus blitz pressure, dig routes. The intermediate passing game might be tough, depending on how the Colts' offensive line holds up. I know they like those intermediate passing routes. That'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think Dallas Clark won't be important for Peyton Manning as well this week because of the fact of the blitz pressure makes him a number one target quite often in the offensive system. I mean, they're just both great quarterbacks. I mean, what do you think about these two guys, Pod?
I mean, you couldn't ask for two better quarterbacks in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other quarterback matchup you'd like to see are the quarterbacks of the 2000s, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They're in the same conference. So that's not going to happen. So I think if you were to pick out an NFC quarterback from the past decade, Drew Brees would be the guy.
I just don't see any real weaknesses.
Kurt Warner, maybe.
Just don't really see any real weaknesses with either quarterback when you broke these two guys down and gave a little bit of tail of the tape action. Just what wasn't really a weakness with either guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're the best of the best.
Yeah.
Welcome. Mailbox number, please.
Your emails with your questions.
Computer, any messages for me?
The Audibles.
First message.
Football Today at ESPNRadar.com. We'll try and get a couple of emails in there every day this week. Some will be Super Bowl related, some will not. This first one is. It comes to us from Mary, who says, "Hey guys, big fan of the show. Being a New Orleans native, I'm also a big Saints fan and a proud member of the Who Dat Nation. I enjoyed this morning's show, but I would like to say one thing. I really wish all of you news people would drop the, quote, whole hurricane thing. Get over it. We have. The Saints are in the Super Bowl because they are the best team in the league, not because we are owed some kind of cosmic gift because we survived a natural disaster. Every sportscaster, commentator, and out-of-town news reporter feels the need to bring up the damn hurricane every time we do something good or bad. They use it as a crutch. We don't. We got slammed by Katrina. We picked up the pieces and moved on. We're excited to win the Super Bowl because we, as fans, deserve it. We finally have a championship-caliber football team, and that is what we want to be remembered as. Who dat?"
Wow. So
there's somebody from New Orleans saying,
"Get over
shut up about the hurricane."
Well, I mean, I don't think people feel like they're owed something. I just think people feel like it's great for the city.
Yes and no. I sort of agree with her, though, that, I mean, every time I hear somebody talking about the Saints, it's, oh, that team that got over the hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh, the trials and tribulations of
right.
the Saints. And that's fine. It's obviously going to be a great storyline, and clearly the media likes to hype up storylines.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm with her.
Okay.
It's like, you know, New Orleans really has. I mean, they're doing all right down there.
They're doing all right.
There are places aren't.
I don't think every time we talk about the Saints, we have to talk about Hurricane Katrina. I mean, Hurricane Katrina and this New Orleans Saints season are two very, very separate things. They don't really tie into each other, other than the fact that a lot of Saints players have really given donated a lot of money and a lot of time to the relief efforts in New Orleans. But I don't think we need to have 2 weeks of, you know.
No.
This team was owed a gift. I agree.
By the way, I don't want to sound insensitive about that. Clearly, Katrina was a horrible thing.
Absolutely.
Glad that things are better now to a certain extent, however much extent they are. I mean, I still don't understand if things are bad or things are good. That said, This is the New Orleans Saints. They're a football team. They're a good football team. They're there because they're a good football team.
Okay.
Aaron says, "Having been largely in agreement with most of what JG has to say about this year's Pro Bowl and had no intention of watching it, but as the Cavs game got out of hand early, I found myself switching over to the game and couldn't have taken a more different point of view. I saw the look on these guys' faces as they were introduced and knew that the best option wasn't, as many analysts have said, better left not played at all. I found myself excited for guys like Garrard and Young and feeling like the Favres and Bradys of the world were really missing out on something great."
All right. Well, there's one person that watched it and liked it, wasn't going to watch it, watched it and found it interesting. I didn't watch it, so.
I think you can ask any first-timer to the Pro Bowl that they take it fairly seriously.
True.
It's the guys that have been there multiple times that they sort of take it for granted almost.
I don't think that. I mean, I think it's good for the guys that got to go for the first time and get a taste of it. My point was just, if you have an All-Star game that has 34 players missing that were selected,
right,
then it's not really an All-Star game. That's my take on it.
Maya, who's our Packers superfan, after the Packers lost to the Cardinals, Matt was musing about how Packer fans feel about this loss. Well, obviously no true fan is ever okay with a loss, especially as I clearly felt the same as Matt, that Green Bay could have been the sleeper team to make the Super Bowl. We had everything except for one glaring weakness, which would have cost us a game at some point in the playoffs, the kicker. Has any NFL season ever been so defined by missed field goals? The Ravens lost to the Vikings because of a kicker. The Redskins lost to the Saints because of a kicker. The Chargers lost to the Jets because of a kicker. And I'm certain that even had Green Bay beat the Cardinals, Mason Crosby would have went wide left on a 36-yard attempt with 2 seconds left at some point in the playoffs. Look, we all hate talking about kickers, but this is something special. What kind of changes will we see teams make to address the lack of competent kicking?
Not much. Because there's not, I mean, again, guys don't really have that much faith in young kickers. There's no, I mean, I don't know what the draft class looks like. I'd have to ask McShay about that.
I have no idea.
But we don't really normally see a lot of young kickers move into the game. We just see retread veterans changing teams. So basically what happens is if you don't like your retread veteran right now and he's not very consistent, you go get yourself another retread veteran. So what ends up happening is even though some of these teams aren't happy with their kickers, I think just we see change of scenery for some of them. And even a team like the Chargers, I mean, Nate Kaden's going to be there. It's been awesome in the regular season. I mean, I know he missed three in the postseason, and you want to be better. But I mean, are you going to find a better kicker right now than Nate Kading? Are you going to upgrade that position? You're not if you're San Diego. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of kicker movement at all.
Drew, who is a Lions fan, says, "Hey, Jeremy and Pod, just wanted to say I love the show. Listen to it every day at work. Good to know that we're helping out the workforce while they're at work."
Yep.
My question is, why do players in the NFL object so strenuously to having the franchise tag placed on
them? Pod was asking about this.
Vince Wilfork, for example, a Pod Vader favorite, says it would be a slap in the face to have the tag placed on him. He says he wants a long-term deal, but it would seem that the tag were placed on him that he'd be in the same position he was in the past season. It would give his agent another year to work out a long-term deal as well. I must be missing something. Can you explain the negativity towards the franchise tag? And as I brought up with you, Jeremy, off the air last week,
right?
I said Vince is going to get a guaranteed $8 million, $8 to $10 million
right.
with the franchise tag.
Right.
And you brought up the fact, but he's not going to get it in one lump sum.
And that's what he wants. He wants a one lump sum check of $8 to $10 million in signing bonus money where Mr. Kraft says, "Sure, here you go, Vince. Let me put your name on there. 10, six more zeros." Where you get that money up front. And that's the difference. It's about that upfront money that you're not getting when you're a franchise player.
That's what the agent wants, too.
Of course.
Because the agent's percentage is coming from that signing bonus.
Absolutely.
It's not going to come from that guaranteed
contract.
It's
not going to come from that guarantee or that guaranteed deal. So that's why it's better for the agent, better for the player. I mean, you know, it's hard to complain. Again, I agree, though, when you're making that kind of money in 16, 17 game checks. I mean, can you imagine $10 million being split over 17 game checks?
That's not bad. I'll take it.
It's not bad at all.
Can I have that salary, please?
So I think, but I think a big part of it is that the player doesn't get the money up front, doesn't get any signing bonus. That's the key.
Spanning the topics with a wide open field. Go deep.
And I would now like to welcome in Jets Pro Bowl left tackle DeBrickshaw Ferguson. He joins us here on ESPN Football Today. Brick, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, man. You're doing some sweat testing for Gatorade this morning, man. They got you hooked up to all kinds of apparatuses. What's going on?
You know, man, they're trying to see what makes me tick. No. you know, it was real good because, I had an opportunity to try their three series and, you know, before and during and after performance. And it's all about rehydration and what fuels your body and trying to keep you at your top level. So it's real good.
A lot of testing. We'll see where that goes. I know you played in the Pro Bowl game last night. Talk a little bit about that game. I mean, a lot of people said, me included, said it didn't feel like that, necessarily feel like the ultimate All-Star game because there were 34 players that were selected that couldn't be there or didn't show.
You know, the Pro Bowl is such a great honor, and the fact that, you know, able to come and be a part of that game, I was so happy, man. I think it's great. There's only so many players in the NFL that get an opportunity to go and do that. And, you know, no matter how you get in, I think it's a great honor.
You guys had a nice run this year, the New York Jets. I mean, talk a little bit about this team, the future with Mark Sanchez, and a relatively young offensive line.
I think we're going to have a lot of success. I think Sanchez is an excellent quarterback. I think he has a lot of potential for greatness. Everybody has their rookie years, whether they're great or bad. But I think what's great about it is that you have an opportunity to learn from that, and you can really utilize it for your future. As a team, you know, Rex is so passionate, man, and he has a lot of goals for us. I think that we'll continue to reach our goals and to aim high. And like this year, you know, we were able to really shock a lot of people at what we could accomplish.
Yeah, and you guys will go in a little bit more as the hunted than the hunter next year. So talk a little bit about that change.
It's always funny, you know, when, you know, sometimes you go out there and you do a good job, the secret's out. You know, now you can't hide or surprise people. But I think that just forces you to become a better athlete or team.
Yeah, better athlete, better team. You faced both the Saints and the Colts this season. Talk to me a little bit about facing the Saints and what is their defensive line. What kind of things can they do to maybe Peyton Manning?
You know, I think between the Saints and the Colts, they have a lot of similarities on their D-line. Both teams have explosive defensive ends that really can wreck the game. And I think both teams also have a fast-flowing defensive line that, or defenses, I'll say, in general, that really will cause teams troubles if they can't go out there and match their speed and intensity. But I definitely think, well, you know, obviously because we lost to the Colts, and, you know, that still stings. I'm not going to go out there and endorse them just right yet.
I understand that.
I'm going to go and endorse those Saints, you know.
Okay.
And I think that they can have a lot of success if they just, you know, run the ball and have passes and completions. I think they'll do a great job.
Now, Dwight Freeney has a torn ligament, we're finding out this morning, in his ankle and might not be able to go. How would that affect a team like the Colts and their pass rush ability?
I mean, he's such a great player. I think it's going to really be it's going to be bad for them because I think that's just one element of their game that has really affected other teams, and people have to account for his abilities. And I think because of that, you know, the Saints has a little added bonus. They better capitalize on that. But you know, he's just a great athlete, so his presence is going to be missed on the field.
Brick, you're in Miami right now. How long are you staying down there?
Yeah, I'm going to stay up until the Super Bowl. I don't know if I'm going to go to the game. I'm not going to do that. But
no, you want first time you go to the game, you want to be in the game.
That's right. That's right. You know, but you know, we're going to have a lot of fun, and you know, you check out some things throughout the week. So it should be good.
What else are you working on this week? Anything we need to talk about?
You know, just here and there, man. You know, different things come up. You know, they got the player parties, and so it's kind of fun to see what Miami's like, you know, when Super Bowl's in town.
All right, before we let you go, tell us again, what are you working on with Gatorade?
Again, Gatorade, you know, they got the new G-Series up, and, you know, it's going to be so helpful, and, you know, especially this off-season during training and workouts, and I think it's really key that to keep your energy levels high and to refuel, and I think that series is going to be so good to do that.
All right, DeBrickishaw Ferguson joining us here at ESPN Football today, doing a little sweat tasting for Gatorade this morning. I'm glad you had a little bit of time to step onto the program. DeBrickishaw, enjoy the rest of your week in Miami. Thanks, man.
Thanks again.
ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. Thanks for joining us today. I want to say thanks, Pod Vader, for putting together this show. I want to say thanks to DeBrickishaw Ferguson, who was doing a little sweat testing down there with Gatorade. And as he said, hooked up to all kind of apparatuses, trying to figure out what makes DeBrickishaw tick.
You can check it out on Facebook.
It was interesting.
It was an interesting-looking video, that's for sure. You may not want to watch the whole thing. The whole video is like an hour or something long, but if you fast-forward, you can see all the stuff that he's hooked up to.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It was pretty cool. So he's down there working with Gatorade. We've got guest joins from Gatorade this week, Pod Vader.
Gatorade, Sprint, everybody.
Yep, Gatorade, Sprint. We got all kinds of people endorsing all kinds of things. They'll be here on ESPN Football Day. Thanks, Pod, for putting
Tail of the Tape
slants.
All week.
Yeah, Tail of the Tape all week. Quick slants. No more Pro Bowl talk.
No more Pro Bowl talk.
No more Pro Bowl talk.
Unless somebody brings it up.
What do we got tomorrow?
Tomorrow we got the Tail of the Tape will be about the wide receivers, which is convenient for us.
Because it ties into our guest, Chris Collinsworth. He'll be here promoting Sprint.
You know, the other thing I want to talk to Chris Collinsworth about?
What's that?
You know, last time he was here, he was talking about how annoyed he was at himself on the Madden game. Yeah, I got to agree. Collinsworth. We got to figure out a way to get EA to change up some of the things Collinsworth says after those bad plays.
Alright.
Well, I take my controller and throw it at the TV.
Alright, so Pod Vader will ask him about that. I'll ask him about what he's got going on with Sprint, who he likes in this football game, and all sorts of things, Chris Collinsworth. Make sure you join us tomorrow, ESPN Football Today. Have a great Monday. We're out of here. See ya!
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Chrisky's Metal Mayhem, and next time around by Asymmetry. Check it out at music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening to ESPN Football Today. For more football talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Football Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern and replayed at 11 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and online at espnradio.com.